Reading from Reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 17.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sita Tapatam Jagaha.
Muktadama
Vibhushitam
Ratnadandam
Vidakesha Priya Priya Samasya.
At that time Arjuna, the great warrior and conqueror of sleep,
was the intimate friend of the most beloved Supreme Lord.
Took up an umbrella
which had a handle of jewels and was embroidered with lace and pearls.
Purport
gold, jewels, pearls, and valuable stones were used in the luxurious royal ceremonies.
They were all nature's gifts and are produced by the hills, oceans, etc., by the order of the Lord.
When man does not waste his valuable time in producing unwanted things in the name of necessity.
By so-called development of industrial enterprises,
they are now using pots of gutta percha.
I think that's clay.
Instead of metals like gold, silver, brass, and copper.
They're using margarine instead of purified butter.
And one fourth of the city population has no shelter.
When man does not waste his time in producing unwanted things in the name of necessity.
Wow.
Greetings from Rudraj.
We had our weekend festival, and I think we made some improvements here.
It was really quite a glorious time.
I generally tell you what I'm doing.
I don't know about the mode of giving class today.
I'll get there.
But there's also still things going on. We didn't end last night until midnight.
There was such nice kirtans.
And a very interesting Ananta who came about 7 o'clock.
And when we were just having a shot of them, and then kirtans began in the evening.
And they kept on going. Until it was about 11 o'clock, and maybe about 30 people left, and somehow that's when the sweetest kirtan began, really wonderful.
It was quite, we just had a simple festival, but I didn't even know all the sannyasins, I knew them, but I didn't know they were coming.
But it was nice, Jayadvaita Maharaj, Anjan Swami, Chandramouli Maharaj. Ami Avilas, South Indian, that I met in 1978, when I went to Bangalore. For some preaching, he was one of the Brahmacharis there, and Vedavyas Priya, also from Gujarat, how they came, my brother Adi Karta, who's a very substantial devotee, and he has many places, right now he has a 48-acre farm. Near Gainesville, and goes to the campuses, and it was nice, and Jai Subhudra outdid herself, the name of the children's festival, and so many activities, and then so many people did come, and it was a kirtan festival, so the kirtan began.
Oh, and also Sankrit Marj, which was also another surprise.
And it was nice to see him in spirit, and he actually spent quite a time at the festival in the kirtans, and he was able to meet people he hadn't seen in many years.
Like Arundhati, who, wife of Pradyumna,
they traveled with Prabhupada extensively, and so.
It was just all around. It was quite a nice, people were quite enlivened.
And then, right now, Jai Breckenridge is giving class downstairs.
And a lot of people stayed overnight. So we're expecting a lot of the people back, especially the kids and that.
Anyway, it was a Kirtan festival, and I offered to the other thing out, but Chandramali spoke.
The lamentation that we may have in terms of practicing spiritual life.
In the modern age, which is charged to opposition to spiritual life. Opposition to spiritual life means passion and ignorance. It means restlessness and lethargy. That's the opposition to spiritual life.
the modern imperial civilization actively propagates through advertisements and communications, passion and ignorance, intoxication, sex life, material matters.
The prophet says,
man does not waste his time producing unwanted things in the name of necessities, means the modes of goodness, unwanted things mean things to promote passion and ignorance.
So it's really, and the Bhagavatam depicts it, and it's there, and therefore Prabhupada could see clearly. It's surcharged with opposition.
And therefore we walk around, we turn on the internet, we see billboards, we get in the car, and our material desires are increased just by the atmosphere, and that increases our restlessness.
So it's hard to spiritual life, the mode of goodness.
So it's hard to sit down and just do what's right.
We're so challenged. I'm also challenged.
We're so challenged.
Sit down, Shant, Hare Krishna, it's not good time.
Of course, that's another problem.
It's the mode.
I'm restless.
The mind is uncontrolled. And that's what modern society does
in so many ways.
So I was personally lamenting my own spiritual life.
And I think people were also lamenting. But then I was explaining, what's the recommendation for a person of such a condition?
The recommendation for a person of such a condition is Sankirtan.
It's Nam, chanting the holy name, but it's Sankirtan.
Chanting in association with others.
Kirtan, even if the mind is restless and it wanders, where is it going to go to in a kirtan?
If by your musical impressions and samskaras you're not already caught in the sway of the beat and the music, and the mantra is there.
So I was explaining how Sankirtan, which was the focus of our festival, allows such a high degree of meditation for one who has no abilities to do so.
And it was nice to preach about Kirtan in the Kirtan festival.
Like that, of course.
And then I just said that this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to reach the highest perfection.
And I told the story of Pankaj and Sarasvati when Lord Chaitanya met the Mayavadi sannyasis, and he didn't want to associate with them, he was distant.
But they saw how brilliant he was, and they figured that he achieved.
So the leader came up to him and said,
Why are you engaged in such a sentimental and emotional activity?
And he said, Mukhe Tume, I'm such a fool. Tomara Ahikwa Vedanta Akar. He told me, he told Prakasana, what did my guru tell me? My guru told me I'm such a fool.
I don't have
the qualification to study Vedanta.
And this is a generic instruction coming in.
Fool means what? We're not qualified. Lajjikanya's guru told him he's not qualified.
So he said, what?
Krishna mantra japa sada.
You always
chant the Krishna mantra,
a mantra
sar. This is the essence of all mantra or Vedic instructions.
Simply chant,
freedom from material misery. Simply chant,
and
you'll see the lotus feet of Krishna.
Namo
Vyo Kali Nati Adhan Krishna Mantra Nam Sara E Shastramar.
What is the purport of Shastra?
The purpose of Shastra, that the essence of all mantra is the name of Krishna. Namo Vyo Kali Nati, and this is the only
Dharma in his
age. Basically.
In keeping your throat first, he told them,
Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Stevena, Stevena, there's no other way.
And then he told him one more thing.
He said, you want to know the essence of Bhagavatam?
And then he quotes that verse,
the essence of Bhagavatam.
There's a verse,
without inhibition, without attachment.
Chant the names of your beloved Lord,
and you'll achieve the highest goal of Krishna.
That's the essence of the Bhagavad Gita.
So I was really feeling that, and really communicating to people that we really need to do more kirtan.
We need to do more kirtan. And I also made a point.
A lot of Indians are there.
And they're very much consumed with building big temples. And I said just very frankly that my experience, and I know preaching to Westerners and trying to speak of Krishna consciousness, what to speak of sharing your message with others.
You have to have some common frame that they can appreciate. I said, my experience, a Westerner is 500% more likely to come to a kirtan than he is to visit an Indian temple.
It really is, I really feel that strongly.
Spending so much money.
Doesn't cost money.
Kirtan doesn't cost money.
Spend that same amount of effort in collecting so many things.
Just to make a kirtan party and train people the proper way.
And I was telling you, I'm experiencing it because Stubbs, Princeton, Professor Edwin Bryant,
Raghunath Upstate, you do a nice kirtan,
and there's a whole group of progressive Americans that will come.
They're very much into kirtan. In fact,
this area here on the western side of the Hudson,
North has been deemed by the New York Times as the Bhajan Belt.
It used to be the Borscht Belt.
Meaning where the Jews used to have their vacation area.
And the south of the Bible Belt.
This is the Bhajan Belt. People bring kirtan.
And I also mentioned that Prabhupada was so cutting edge.
Prabhupada was at the forefront of rural communities.
And simple living, sustainable living.
Prabhupada was at the forefront of Indian culture. Prabhupada was at the forefront of changing your diet.
And Prabhupada was at the forefront of kirtan.
And these things have been appropriated by others now.
So our real mission for Prabhupada is to take these things back.
We represent the tradition,
especially kirtan.
Then I mentioned Satyaraj has written a book.
Be brilliant.
He's interviewed all these kirtaneers, and these kirtaneers are very, very... It's coming out June 1st.
These kirtaneers are very Krishna Das Jayutal,
and they're more popular than the ISKCON kirtaneers, although the ISKCON kirtaneers are far better.
But somehow they're popular.
Satyaraj is interviewed about 15, and then he's interviewed 15 people in Prabhupada's mission, from Agni Dev to Pananrita.
The Bhakti Charu Swami, and there's no comparison
of the realization of what kirtan is.
It's not just a ritual. There's something internal about it. And what's the internal part of kirtan?
It's the prayer for God's mercy and to surrender to God.
And that type of kirtan is really not just delivering an empty package. It's very, very special.
Like King Prathapalutra,
he looks down from watching the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya as the kirtan is coming in, with all the devotees from Bengal. I never saw kirtan like that. The same music, the same drum.
I never saw.
Why? Because there was the pure devotion of service in that kirtan. The intent, the motive, the purpose was in that kirtan.
So the realization of devotees who do kirtan is so brilliant.
What Satyaraj did.
Because what will happen is, some people criticize him already.
You know, people read Mayavadi and you link to their website.
So I thought, how many of the devotees are going to go to their website and they do?
How many of them would be affected actually being trained by Prabhupada and what real spiritual life is?
When Krishna Das puts the book on his website, and 20,000 people get a book or something, and then they start to read what real kirtan is from people like Andre Dev, Bhakti Shu, Khan Amrita, Vyasa, and then they begin to read what real kirtan is from people who come in a bona fide line.
How many of them have been affected? So I thought this is really good, a real way to actually establish, not in a sectarian way.
But they've appropriated the tradition of kirtan, basically, Ake Chakra made a brilliant paper on this.
I don't know if you've listened to this class now, but he gave it at a conference we had.
How would people do is they take kirtan belongs to Bengal in the tradition of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Narottam Das Thakur.
And then people take kirtan and they basically use it to promote a new age philosophy.
They've taken some deep rich tradition and they've appropriated it for their own concocted use, mostly. You know, and so it's very wonderful if we can give credit to where credit's due. Coming way back there, and if you want to do something, that's fine, but don't say that this is what it is.
Your time is coming from a rich tradition of worshiping God and pure devotional service.
Anyway, I was presenting that, but also in personal life.
I always feel an extra kirtan every day.
So you have a family, you already have a kirtan party.
Kirtan tapes, or more kirtan personally, or join the kirtan. So many people came to this kirtan festival.
It started off slow because you have it all day,
and people generally don't come till the end.
And then all of a sudden, it kind of explodes.
Anyway, so that's what I spoke about. And then, really, now we're talking about this verse here, which is also quite interesting, this is again Krishna leaving and we're seeing how the people are affected.
We saw previously Krishna's reciprocation to the devotees.
When you get that direct personal reciprocation from God,
how do you feel?
When we're saying it.
There's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it, and there's such attachment that the devotees have.
There's such an attachment that the devotees have. So there's nothing like it. So we're seeing their hearts melting, and they cannot even blink, fearing that they'll lose the association, and the people are crying and they don't want to cry because they think it's suspicious.
It's pure love. This is why there's a whole description in the Bhakti Sandarbha about Raghunatha Bhakti.
And it describes this verse in the seventh canto, by fear and the lust, and you're focused on God.
You're focused on God, you become pure. What is this nature of calm towards Krishna?
And Jiva Goswami asks,
is it sinful?
Is it sinful?
Like enmity and fear is sinful because
the desire to harm
God? Is it sinful in itself?
Is it sinful in itself?
Is it a selfish act?
Is it just the act or is it sinful? Or is it sinful?
Is it sinful in itself? And it quotes the verse.
The mood of the gopis.
The mood of the gopis is Krishna puts his feet on their breasts.
And what is their mood?
Their mood is not, oh, this feels good.
This is what I always wanted.
What is their mood?
Krishna walks in the forest barefoot.
And don't those pebbles hurt his feet? And similarly, will our hard breasts hurt his feet?
Sense gratification means
you have to separate yourself from the object of your enjoyment.
Love means you become one.
There's no separation.
That person's feelings is your feelings.
And that's the mood of the gopis.
It's not at all.
It's praying.
Their mind is...
What is their mind? What pleases Krishna? Is Krishna doing this just to please us? It must hurt him so much.
With those soft lotus feet, it must hurt Krishna so much. Is he doing this to please us?
So that's the mind. The mind in love
is thinking.
What is the beloved thinking? What's his desires?
The mind in lust is, you know,
what do I want?
What do I need?
Me. I want.
Like spoiled children
in the material world.
So self-centered.
The degree that you're self-centered is the degree that you're sinful.
And the degree that you need reactions to purify that.
That's the law of karma, actually.
So we see the devotees here now.
Up, you know, when he leaves, physical service, beautiful jewels, embroidered with lace and pearls and jewels.
And that's the spiritual world.
The spiritual world is that your love is manifest externally, an object of pleasure for your beloved.
The spiritual world is beautiful, it's dazzling, it's gorgeous. Because that's love.
You make things dazzling, beautiful, gorgeous for the pleasure of your beloved.
The spiritual is dazzling, we're seeing it.
But Prabhupada, in his modern day commentary for the people of the world, he's going to make a comment.
Going back to his thoughts about Mara's reign and how, when you reciprocate in the proper way of God, then things become lush and plentiful. And comparing it to the modern world, people had clarified butter, now they have margarine.
And actually, if you see an old house, right?
I remember when I went to my grandmother's house, the ceilings.
What do they have, those orders on the ceilings? Everything was so intricately carved.
Such rich wood on the doors.
Even if they lived in an apartment, one of my grandmothers, you know.
Now I'm here, I'm actually at the house, the rubbles.
The modern mansions. I'm not criticizing them.
Every inch of there, you know.
I don't even think they have enough room for their whole family.
I don't think they even have a room for each member of their family,
especially their youngest son now is getting married, so he just sleeps with the parents
wherever he can.
So I'm not criticizing that. But very frankly, it's so cheap today. The doors, things are cheap. You don't see what they did previously. You couldn't even imagine what they did. Now they build these skyscrapers with glass windows. They used to build stone buildings.
Henry down there in Washington, in the morning.
His house is a nice earthworm path. It's very interesting. He's in the middle of Washington.
But you go down and you go into this little forest right in the middle of Washington.
It's interesting.
And it's beautiful.
It's only a 10-minute walk, and you go down these stone pathways.
And then you come through, and I think it was the son or either the father, the person who made Central Park, made this.
And you come out on this national cathedral.
It was incredibly impressive. It's so beautiful.
I don't know, probably maybe 100 years ago or something.
The buildings people made, the opulence that people could enjoy.
I should mention it's impeccably maintained.
That's another thing, when you build Indian temples, it's not just collecting the money to put up a temple,
but it becomes useless unless you maintain it.
Maintaining a building costs a lot of money.
And he was explaining it, a huge budget.
But the thing is, Prabhupada's honing in on that opulence and the natural living.
So, anyway, I'm going to stop here today.
That was just a little short class. And if anybody wants to ask questions, they're more than welcome. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj?
Yeah, Mooney.
Hello.
Thanks so much for an inspiring class. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
My question is about the New Age kirtaniers were able to become popular, and like you've mentioned, that somehow or other these people, like Krishnadas or Jayutal, are like enormously popular, and most of the ISKCON kirtaniers are completely anonymous.
Yeah.
And that's a fact, and as you said, and sometimes, I was kind of, a few years ago, I was criticizing Krishnadas somehow, I guess just being a typical devotee. And a friend of mine said, well, look, I mean, this guy got Sting to chant Hare Krishna. Have any of us been able to do that? And in a way, I appreciated his point. But my question is, you know, you had said that they're popular, but they don't have any connection with tradition. What I wonder is the reason that devotees aren't popular because we demand too much and we do throw too much tradition in their face?
Well, it
seems to me that one reason why devotees aren't popular is because we are so put offish. In general, we haven't been welcoming. In general, we tell people, yeah, you can chant, but don't be such a karmi, you know, or you can come to the kirtan, but first we're going to give you a lecture that if you don't follow the four regular principles, then you're just a fool or you're fallen.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's a consequence of our sense of being traditional, which gets in the way of our
being. I don't think it's traditional.
I think it's many factors.
Because authenticity, when done very properly, can be extremely attractive.
And I think those types of people will also be very attractive.
Like when Raghunath is preaching, that type of thing.
People don't know anything.
And the knowledge he's gotten, basically from studying as a bhakta, makes him such an authority with those people.
In fact, I'm in my room, upstairs, all of a sudden I'm hearing Monday Guru, chanting with yoga class.
They don't know what guru is.
They don't know what this is because you're studying yoga, but where did this yoga come from?
It's come from tradition.
You're dependent on this long tradition of people, so we have to offer them thanks.
Through the present teacher, but the present teacher is taking that respect and offering it to his teacher.
Otherwise, he becomes contaminated.
He said all basic points.
He said people are enamored there.
That's not it.
The point is, I think, what you said is two things. One,
we're giving them something
with a motive of conversion.
And whatever that motive is, anybody who's progressive hates conversion.
Because it just brings up very fundamentalist images.
The audience we want is a progressive audience.
Not the Bible Belt America.
And they hate fundamentalism.
So present what we're doing. You could present it as tradition.
But if you present it as fundamentalism, then it's not love.
It's like it comes off that you're approaching these people with a motive.
So I think you're right.
How it was done
And the other thing is sectarianism never seems spiritual.
So there's a way of sharing
with people and appreciating what you have, and even having that goal
that this is very good and I want to give something to them.
But then you have to represent it.
You have to represent it,
and you have to be not contaminated with the desire for preaching, you know, almost where, you know, it can really subtly come to your old ego that, you know, this is an expression of my superiority,
or worse, it's an expression of my own lack of faith and insecurity. And that's even worse.
So I think you're right there. I think it's the presentation. And I think if you present it properly, it's
a Krishna
is back. You know, he's studying in Bengal, and
he's organizing
the kirtans for me. I'm very impressed. He's become very expert.
And he was just up in Washington at this yoga studio. And
it was the same yoga studio that I had given a lecture at. It was with Gauravani.
Gauravani added him.
He said it's not his favorite part, but he has the bass player.
So it's traditional, and he said 80 people were dancing and chanting in ecstasy.
And they've never heard anything like that.
But because it's expertly presented.
I mean, it could have been a more traditional thing, but I mean, it's still pretty traditional, except for,
you know,
they can't even imagine
what the potency, and this Arundhati who lives in New Paltz and basically goes to all these kirtans. She's going to go to kirtan because they're doing it all the time, and I appreciate it because there's nothing like being in a kirtan of devotees who have that intention and purpose and together, and it was just such a nice And actually, after I gave that lecture about kirtan, then everybody did what I said, and then the kirtans weren't going to end, and everybody was waiting for the shot, and I got the anxiety, and some people were hungry.
But actually, in this festival, it's also nice because what they do is they have food for the children all day.
Ice cream cups and banana cupcakes and all kinds of things all day.
Little juicy drinks, whatever the children want, they can eat.
And at the same time, for the adults, they have this bel puri, this famous Gujarati snack with different types of things mixed.
I think your point is well taken.
It's the presentation.
Now, when they're doing kirtan up at the studio, Anantha and Achyutaka, and they're very traditional in their kirtan.
They don't play for the crowd, actually.
They're people who just worship the holy name.
They're not, I can't explain it, but they're deeply meditative on the holy name in a humble way.
They're not so interactive with the audience in that way.
But they're so expert and so deep.
People come and they love it.
But I think the real point is kirtan has become, for a large section of Americans who are progressive, an activity that they enjoy. Anything else, Mooney?
Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
It just kind of struck me that when you were mentioning Satyaraj Prabhu's book, and that some devotees have already criticized him for his thing.
I would not criticize that. There was one person who gave a donation that I know, and then he called me up.
And he said he was a little concerned that when people click on Krishna Das, they'll go to his website and they'll get it. But I explained to the devotee that our influence is much stronger than theirs.
And they're going to have many more people coming and buying the book that we're going to buy.
Many more.
So mainly, it's an opportunity for our influence to come.
But Satyaraj does expect, and I think Iskan and Rapa's vision has gradually become more progressive.
But he expects some people who criticize him.
What are you going to say?
Well, no, I just feel, with due respect to this devotee, and my guess is when I hear that response, and I think Setyaraj is right that he's probably going to be bothered by a lot of emails and complaints. To me, that's the same attitude that's made us so parochial and made us unable to reach people, because we're so afraid of transgressing some kind of somewhat harmless, you know, okay, you take risks when you preach. Maybe one of the risks is someone may, oh my gosh, they might hear some watered-down Shankara philosophy for 10 minutes. Well, you know, to me, that's really depressing. I mean, because that's the same kind of attitude, to my mind, that's made us so completely kind of paralyzed to actually reach people.
It means it's fear.
Fear is not attractive.
Because I was also reading in Bhakti Sundar, which is very interesting.
And it says enmity and fear,
but it means fear is hate.
Fear is very sinful.
Because fear means hate.
As soon as there's fear, you hate.
There should be confidence.
Security.
We really have something real.
Not be afraid to present it. But also not be afraid of competition.
And have some feelings towards that.
When Krishnadas came to the Menla Institute where they were doing their drop-a retreats.
That was really nice. And he did kirtan. And then he came and did his kirtan with Sachinanda. And there were some devotees there.
Look at this guy,
Krishnadas, whatever the case is.
And maybe it's bringing him into the association of devotees now because he really has a strong affinity to Sachinandana Swami.
But maybe actually he's done some service, and Krishna worked through him in a way to spread the holy name. I guess someone could pull out the milk touched by the lips of the serpent. There's some truth to it, that the name doesn't.
But somehow he's popularized.
But I can see also that it's very nice when I met him there.
But I think the fact that he met devotees
that were appreciating him, he probably realized how much he was hated.
For taking the holy name.
You know what I'm saying?
How do you feel when the only emotion you get from a religious organization is hate?
It's the way we feel about Christians that are fundamentalists.
I remember when I went to the National Cathedral.
It was more liberal, and I was walking around in my robes.
People would fold their hands respectfully.
So that impressed me. I felt like, hey, these are nice people.
If you get evangelical, doesn't mean you have to hate either.
I don't want to put it into that grounds either.
You can be, like Prajumna said, there's a difference between orthodox and fundamental. You can be strict in your traditions.
But you don't have to be literalist in terms of the expression of that.
To ridiculous degrees.
People respect people who are orthodox and strict.
But I saw this Christian preacher, an evangelical, and he said,
people criticize fundamentalist Christians, right? He said, I'm an evangelical.
They criticize them.
Why is there so sectarian? He said that's because they're not Christians. Real Christians are charitable.
They're Christ-like, right?
Look at the teachings of Christ.
He was also in some ways orthodox.
But that doesn't have to make you hateful. So if we become hateful out of fear,
what is he thinking
of our movement? Right.
They hate him because he's not us.
Even if he doesn't have some knowledge, et cetera.
But I saw he really warmed up when he saw that.
But Marsh, about fear, though.
It's so hard.
My experience is very difficult sometimes to separate Srila Prabhupada's actual teachings from my kind of conception of Prabhupada. And much of my conception of Prabhupada was formed when I was a young devotee who was, I think, sincere, but also immature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my image of Srila Prabhupada was that any time any spiritual teacher would come up who wasn't like a Vaishnava, the default would be the guy's a fake. The guy's obviously a fake.
Yeah.
The one exception I've seen was Sri Aurobindo, where Prabhupada actually, he has a critique of Sri Aurobindo, but he seems to speak kind of.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a story that Bhagavad told, you know.
Yeah.
He said there was a statue of Gandhi or something,
and he was on a walk, and Prabhupada was very heavy, you know, because Gandhi basically,
he was a politician, or something like that.
But he said that he saw Prabhupada saying this, and then when he went to ask the statue of Gandhi, he folded his hands out. So I think with Prabhupada, there's something different when you're the acharya of a tradition, and you have to maintain upheld certain types of standards and certain types of principles.
And also there's a certain thing in India where that's actually allowed and understood.
I've seen this so many times, even among the Buddhists. It's a different type of culture.
They're preachers and they speak very, very strongly.
But it doesn't carry over into the personal dealings of the heart. I've seen that.
It's just a cultural way that is accepted.
In terms of the person's beliefs and traditions.
But it doesn't carry over into the heart. And it doesn't prevent people from...
It's just like Prabhupada may say so many strong things in terms of things. But if you read the bulk of his texts and things...
He also speaks about all my God brothers, pure devotees.
There's verses like that.
Glorifies Jesus Christ.
Even glorifies Muhammad.
Most hate the Muslim.
Prabhupada glorifies Muhammad as a pure devotee.
So I think in terms of Prabhupada's teachings,
He had quite a few cars here already.
Okay, I'm looking outside, how many people are coming, right?
So I think in terms of Prabhupada's teachings, the Acharya, and that's the way the Acharyas talk.
And he had certain missions, certain traditions and principles,
and make sure people were not confused.
But it didn't reflect on his heart, his feelings, or even his dealings, or even prevent him from saying other things that appear contradictory.
So I think now when you're actually in a Western context and you don't have to be the Acharya, you're preaching in different types of views,
I think you have to have a different hermeneutics of understanding Prabhupada, not imitate him.
Because if you understand him in a greater context,
you'll see that actually is representing Prabhupada.
Unless it comes to a point where it comes into the movement and someone starts to think it's Krishna Das, or I thought that on my website, someone brought up Eckhart Tolle's new book.
And I'm liberal, but I was also, I kind of had a duty in representing, how do we put this in terms, I don't want people to appreciate maybe certain things that the guy says.
But in a way that will not give them the absolute truth either, right?
So then I'm forced into a role.
And I hope I responded appropriately, try to put in a particular context. I was concerned.
If that kind of forced me into a role. Prabhupada was always in that role. because he had to protect the traditions and the understandings of people that become confused.
Anyway, go ahead.
No, I appreciate your point. And in a way, it helps. Maybe it was just my understanding of Prabhupada, but I actually remember having, there's this fear that if you read something from another sampradaya, you're going to be destroyed. And I don't just mean the Mayavadi Bhashya, but I just mean...
Probably you would. The people who came to the movement... They probably would be completely confused.
Are you kidding?
The stuff you know now,
Mahamuni?
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
And that's what the programmers did.
Right?
They would take new people, and then they would...
Either take Prabhupada's teachings out of context,
or put something else in there. You know what I'm saying?
And you can destroy someone's faith.
If their faith is not strong,
especially if you're intelligent,
you present other things, you know?
I don't want to discuss it here,
but remember we had that discussion about the...
You still on?
Yeah.
About the Chandoga Upanishads.
I don't want to get into that here now. But someone who knows all the things...
Could present things in a particular context that could disturb people.
If they didn't, Papa wasn't dealing just with individuals. He was dealing with establishing a whole.
So I can see that. I think we have to be mature enough. Right.
To understand Papa's teachings and represent them.
And not take his role
with every single person who walks in the door.
Well, your point's really powerful, but I think it's a real challenge for us because what it needs is really deeply extracting the spirit of Srila Prabhupada's approach and not just the letter. And it seems like we've just often just followed the path of taking the letter, so to speak.
Did you know that the GBC passed a resolution to annotate Prabhupada's books?
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, I mean...
In Resolution 311, somehow.
I read it to annotate.
And it gave examples of some statements that are understood in a particular cultural context. And I speak to annotate it so that it's not misunderstood.
Which is exactly what Professor Bryan had recommended. Right?
In those papers that he wrote.
I thought that was interesting.
So it's really a challenge.
Do you want to shut off 50% of the population from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya? Because maybe there's a presentation of women in a certain cultural context. That really doesn't translate sometimes.
And therefore people who understand the context have that duty.
Communicate and make things understood.
There's another way to go, but you've been kind enough to give me so much time. I don't want to just.
So we'll see. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Rasikya.
Rasikya, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
That was very enlivening. Thank you for coming on. I was also thinking in terms of the kirtan thing, there's like Austin is a big kirtan capital.
Yeah, wow.
There's the thing that I notice is, you know, when people come to kirtan here, it's like, you know, we don't chant all those other mantras because in the Krishnadas and all the other ones, there's Lord Shiva, Ma, Durga.
And all those things.
So sometimes I feel like when they come here, they sort of think of sectarianism because we only chant Hare Krishna.
Well, I think you're good.
But then I noticed also that when Vyasaki was here some months back, he didn't even talk about it. There was just chanting and everybody was into it. So it's interesting.
Well, I think it's a good point, Rasa.
I think there's two things.
One is that you can do it one of two ways.
One, you can represent yourself as a particular tradition and let people know.
Like at Brian's house when we do kirtan.
He specifically lets people know from the outside that this is a Krishna tradition and the kirtan is going to be Krishna tradition.
But at the same time, there was one person who's a really, in a little way, a renowned kirtan drummer. And he's a Shaivite, right?
So he would very humbly come every week and just kind of play in the background. Right?
So one day they asked him to lead.
And he chanted a Shiva kirtan. And the devotees, their mood was
a
appreciative.
Appreciative. He was, you know, very, he was very humble. You know what I'm saying?
And
he was sharing his own thing.
And, you know,
people were actually very happy. They felt good to be a little bit inclusive and broad. You know, it was such a...
So that's one
way to do it. The other thing is...
To at least
extend it to Rob, you know,
Christian
Rob,
you know, and then
if you do some very beautiful Ram Bhajans,
right,
then that's also popular in the Kirtan scene. And I saw this at Chita Priya.
She did
something with the names of Ram once at one of these yoga studios.
It really
blew my mind. It was so, you know,
so I think again,
it's just a question of
Presentation,
and you know, it's like Prabhupada.
Prabhupada was sticks,
orthodox
in
certain
principles,
and he wasn't afraid to repackage it.
And he even discussed that if you look at these verses
of Prakasananda Saraswati
and Lord
Chaitanya.
And Prabhupada taught me a whole thing
with Lord Chaitanya Thich Sannyas. Why?
He wanted to preach
to those who couldn't understand.
And Prabhupada taught so extensively
in those purports
about
a preacher having to accommodate in time, place, circumstance, and all these things Prabhupada talks about
so
extensively.
In these purports, it looks like the most broad edge person. So that's Prabhupada.
So he could accommodate, but the thing is, it's a different time now, right?
And we may have to use the principle and accommodate in ways Prabhupada didn't. He was successful.
He ran, he accommodated at a Sunday left feast.
Invited women to come.
Defended the principle, right?
That they should have the same rights.
It was revolutionary.
We have a right to be revolutionary.
We're in a revolutionary tradition. Bhaktisiddhanta rode in the car. Sannyasi never done that. He was sewing clothing.
No sannyasi ever did that. Crossing the ocean. But the principle is there that they applied.
So now we have to apply that principle. And it takes so much realization to
change
the package without compromising the principle.
So because people lack the realization, they just tend to keep it in the same package, even if it's no longer relevant.
But Prabhupada's standard is they have realization.
They can repackage.
And maintain the principle. But that's a valid point. That's another way that we can turn people off.
Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
That's a gift.
Anybody else like to say
Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
I heard Hare Kirtan. Who else did I hear?
This is Shyamarupa Das.
Who?
Shyamarupa.
Hey, Shyamarupa. Nice to hear. Thank you for coming on.
Your Guru Maharaj came to the festival. Oh, you did?
Niranjan Swami came.
Which festival?
Memorial Day Kirtan Festival in New York.
I get my mailing list.
And he came all the way back to New Jersey, and he's coming back today again.
Because we're going to continue with the Kirtans up until 2 o'clock. Yeah.
But the question for me then is, when is he coming to Boston?
Pretty soon.
I guess he's coming this way, and he's going to come up.
In fact,
I'm going to tell him that I spoke to you today.
Yeah, no, actually, I've been calling in for quite a while now to your weekly Sangha. I just haven't...
It's nice for me to know my audience.
But it's great that you're on.
It's great that you're on.
You know?
And a wonderful discussion today, because, you know, this was always something that when I was serving at the Boston Temple, that was our point, was to try to include people. You know, people come and you want to make them feel like they're part of the family and to bring them into the fold rather than smash them for their differences, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I remember how you were...
Effective too.
Anyway, that's another story. But it was...
Interesting discussion, right?
Oh, very good. This is... I mean, this is the way, you know, this is the way it needs to be. Like you said, Prabhupada, even though he established such a strict standard, he never rejected people, you know, anybody. You know, even somebody like Allen Ginsberg, you know, who's way out in left field.
Yeah.
Know, but still, Prabhupada said, you know, even when devotees said, you know, we should start saying bad things about him because, you know, conservatives are criticizing the movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prabhupada, very strict, he said, Allen Ginsberg is a friend of our movement. He's been very helpful to us.
Wow.
So even people who are way outside the fray of the standard of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada never rejected anybody. This is his nature as a elevated, pure devotee. Devotees bring people into the fold of Krishna consciousness.
Very nice.
Very nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe discussions
like this will help, to discuss from different angles.
Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Nice to hear from you. I like to know my audience, so I'll know that
you're out there at least occasionally.
I need a frame of reference, so it's nice when people sometimes at least announce themselves sometimes.
And I'm pretty much, you called.
You know, I'm sure he'd be happy to...
He's going to be up in Boston sometime in the next three weeks,
you know?
Okay.
About a year or so.
Okay.
Okay.
Does he have your email or
phone number? I believe he does.
Okay.
I know he calls Nimai regularly.
Okay.
I don't know, but I believe he mentioned that they contacted you or something, maybe via email or something.
Anyway, listen.
Okay.
Thank you, Shyamala.
I'll tell him you called. Thank you.
Maharaj?
Yes.
I just got a couple of real quick comments for you.
Okay.
You gave me a very nice additional definition of kirtan as a non-sectarian tradition of unconditional love.
Thank you.
We
are going to be continuing with the program of bringing kirtan to the yoga studio in Washington, D.C. Toward the end of June, we're going to do a more of a kirtan workshop, and we're going to be taking that tack you recommended of presenting this as a particular tradition so that we can chant Krishna-related mantras and everything.
Were you at the kirtan Friday night?
Yeah, I arranged it.
I heard it was phenomenal.
It was very good.
It was
really, really wonderful. I really had a great, great time, and the feedback I got was good. And then we're going to use Satya Raj's book, so if he's listening, he'll get my check soon. And I think Satya Raj, you know, the day he does not get criticism from devotees, that's the day he'll think that maybe he's doing something wrong.
That's an excellent point, Hare Kirtan.
That's an excellent point. I will pass that on to him.
Anyway, it's like water off the duck's back, right?
Well, I think it's a litmus test of success.
Okay.
Right.
Mao Tse-Tung said.
Right.
Someone asked, what do you say about everyone hates you? He said, I don't like that person.
He said, what about a person who always praises you?
I don't like that person.
He said, what about a person who sometimes likes you and sometimes criticizes you?
Oh, that's a person I want to be with.
I don't know.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Anybody else like to say
Hare Krishna?
This is Nanda Dulal Maharaj.
Nanda Dulal,
you were up to 1 o'clock last night
with that kirtan,
here.
And still you're on. Thank you.
Hare Bol.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Govardhan.
Govardhan.
Hare Bol, you did your program.
Also, you were here.
How did your program go yesterday?
It was wonderful, Maharaj. It went very well.
Great.
That's nice.
That some people are coming there.
Okay.
You're not coming up today.
No, Maharaj. Because Bhatia had a cooking service in the temple.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you for coming.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna,
Maharaj.
Who's that?
Okay.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's that?
Yeah. This is Yamaraj from Gangstria.
Welcome,
Yamaraj. Thanks for coming on. Thank you.
I really, I always appreciate your class. Sometimes I can't listen to it all the time, but I really appreciated the the comments you made about the kirtan and the mood that we should try to be in terms of. Let me give an example. Like today, I was yesterday we went on Harinam, and I was sort of like in an uncomfortable situation because of I had some sandals on, and the sandals, my toes were swelling up, and things like that. And I started complaining in my mind about this complaining and things like that, you know. And then later on I started thinking that this is to try to help other people to hear and all this and all that. And my question is was I in the right mindset to even think that I was trying to help other people, because that seems when I was thinking about
I'm
it
not sure
I'm not
trying to
say
question.
Your question
the
question,
is,
question
that
is that
we should always
perform
sacrifices
to others.
that's the highest
principle,
but we should do it
in an appropriate way.
I can't stay on so long
because
I have this
festival going on and people are coming, so
thank you
Yamaraj.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you,
Yamaraj. Anybody else like to say
Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Yamaraj.
This is Gail.
Wow, Gail, you also were one of the last people to leave.
We'll
disappoint you left so early at 12 o'clock.
You usually
stay till the end.
I'll save my Krishna Das question for email.
Or you can ask it the next time.
But that Kirtan by Ananta
was
phenomenal.
Yeah,
that
was very nice.
Thank you, Gail.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Okay, we'll end
for today.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.